Tonight, we're going to continue looking at the series we started a few weeks ago over a great individual from the Old Testament, the prophet Elijah. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Elijah being called to go to the brook at Cherith. That, in a sense, was his boot camp. It was a time of training for Elijah, a time for him to learn to better trust God. Well, after boot camp ends for a potential Marine, they are moved on to advanced infantry training. The two training regimens are similar, but the latter, as expected, would be even more demanding for the soldier, more complicated and more rugged. No longer having an ever-present drill instructor might seem like a dream come true, but now you take an even more individual responsibility at that level because you no longer have somebody telling you what to do step by step. There is a purpose for soldiers and sailors and Marines to go through a basic training. There is a reason they go through advanced infantry training. All of this is designed to prepare individuals for an actual battle should our country go to war. These training stages are very similar to what Elijah encountered. Once he successfully made it through the rigors of Camp Cherith, an even more demanding time of advanced training awaited him at a place named Zarephath. The dried up brook, remember that, it was only the beginning. God had plans for Elijah that would take him far beyond those quiet days of isolation and meditation. Life beside the brook, with birds faithfully catering his meals, was simple, uninterrupted, and fairly, we could say, routine. More difficult training was just around the corner. Anyone who would be used the way that Elijah was used by God must first face the advanced training course. For Elijah, this was Zarephath. Through the historical records we have in 1 Kings, we have a front row seat to Elijah's training. And hopefully we can learn some principles through what Elijah went through. Let's pick up our story in 1 Kings 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belonged to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." Let's start by looking at the significance of the name of this place. Zarephath, it comes from a Hebrew verb that means to melt. Interestingly, in noun form, it means crucible. A crucible is where the melting occurs. Just like with Cherith, the name of this place had significant meaning for what Elijah was going to go through, because this is exactly what was going to happen to Elijah. It was a place that God designed to further refine the prophet and get him even more ready to serve. If you really think about everything that Elijah was going to face, he had to get prepped. He had to get ready to fight. It was as if the Lord is saying to Elijah, "I first took you to Cherith to wean you away from the bright lights and the public platform. I've taught you at Cherith to trust me. The ravens brought you in food day by day. I provided you water from that brook at a time when drought was affecting the entire land. But I've done more than that. I've renovated your inner person through the disciplines of solitude, silence, and obscurity." You know, there's a reason the psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God." I think Elijah did a lot of that there by that brook at Cherith. But now it's time to dig down even deeper. Now God is going to turn up the furnace and melt him and mold him into the exact man that he needs him to be to fulfill his purposes. It's crucibles that create Christ-likeness. It's a melted, broken heart that God can really use. When all of the impurities are melted away and skimmed off of the surface, then we have a heart that God can really get to work with. That is what the crucible does. It's what a furnace does. It's what Zarephath did for Elijah. It brought all the impurities to the surface so that they could be removed, leaving an even purer heart. Zarephath served as the furnace for Elijah. Now, through all of this, at the brook, there at Kereth, here at Zarephath, God is still in control. You have a drought that's raging in the land. You got a wicked king, King Ahab, who's even more wicked than any other king that came before him. I'm sure a lot of the people were questioning, where in the world is God? We're suffering here in the middle of this drought. We've got a king who's so wicked, who's bringing in all of this foreign worship, all of these idols. What in the world is going on here? But through all of this, God was still in control. God was still at work. And Elijah needed this reminder. He needed this type of training. He needed Kereth. He needed to learn to trust God entirely. And he also needed what was going to happen here at Zarephath. God knows what the future held for this prophet. And God knew the kind of strength that Elijah was going to need to win the battle. He knows the load the prophet is going to have to carry, and it's going to be a big one. This is no job for a wimp. And Christianity is not an endeavor for the wimp. It's going to take strength to follow Christ. It's going to take strength to stand up against things that are wrong. It's going to take strength to resist temptation, to do what is right. And so God sends Elijah away to the crucible of Zarephath, where all the remaining dross, all of the remaining impurities will be burned away. And through all of this, through all of these events, God has not forgotten Elijah. Quite the contrary. God knows exactly where Elijah is. God, he knew the brook had run dry. You think God was shocked by that? You know, that morning when Elijah woke up and he walks out to the brook, and all there is wet sand. God wasn't surprised by that. He knew that the water was gone from Kereth. He also understood that Elijah was going to need some help. He needed a new destination. You see, this is what's remarkable about our God. He not only knows where we are. Right now, God, he knows where we are. He knows what we're facing as a nation, what we're facing as a church family. Nothing that we're going through, nothing that we're facing is going to be too much for God. Nothing that we encounter in life is going to shock him or surprise him. God knows everything. But he also knows where we're going. That's something we don't know. And we can look around us and we see what we're facing. We know what's going on in our lives. But we don't know what the future holds. And I, for one, am glad that I don't. If I knew everything that I would face in this upcoming year, if I knew every obstacle, every challenge that was in front of me, if all of it was just cast upon me here at once. This is everything that you're going to go through, everything that you're going to face during the course of 2021. It would be overwhelming. That's a burden I can't bear. I would be scared to the point of sleeplessness. How will I ever get through all of this? How will I get this stuff done? How will I be able to survive this when it comes up in my life? Such knowledge would paralyze most of us. But God knows, and he's not overwhelmed. God knew what was going to happen with Elijah when he went to Zarephath. He knew what he would encounter there with the widow. He knew everything that was in front of Elijah. How gracious of our God to just lead us one step at a time, one day at a time, which is exactly what he does with Elijah. Arise. Go to Zarephath and stay there. That's what God says to Elijah. Just take it one step at a time. Notice the straightforwardness and the simplicity of each step. Just imagine Elijah as he's getting this information from God. The word of the Lord came to him. This should give us goosebumps. Here, God is speaking directly to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to him saying, arise. Or was it arise? I'm not sure. I can't get my voice down deep enough. But Elijah, get up. It's time to get up. Arise. Now, Elijah's probably thinking, yeah, I can do that. I can arise. This isn't that difficult. This isn't that hard. The prophet, he had to be thrilled to leave the dried up brook. Bye-bye, ravens, I'm out of here. The next command was, go. Again, a simple command. Elijah, I want you to get up, arise. Now I want you to go. A change of scenery, that would be welcomed for Elijah. But then the other shoe dropped. Now it gets a little more difficult. Elijah, arise, go to Zarephath, and I want you to stay there. Some of us may be willing to enter the crucible, to go through a refining process, to go through a time of transitional testing for an hour or two, perhaps even a day or two, maybe a week at the most. But to be told that we're going to stay there, Elijah, I want you to go here to this furnace, to this crucible, to this place where you're going to go through some intense training. And I want you to stay there. That would be challenging. That would be difficult to make this journey to a place far away from where you're at. You know, this brook had probably become a great friend to Elijah. Now he's called to leave, get up, go to Zarephath, and I want you to stay there. Do you remember when Elijah was told to go to that brook, that he was told to live there? It wasn't a weekend camping trip. Elijah unpacked his bags. He stayed there. He lived there. That became his home. Now Elijah is told to go to Zarephath, and he's told once again to stay there. In essence, God is saying to Elijah, all right, here's your new home. I found it on Zillow. You're going to love it. Go there and hang out for a while. It was a long walk from Kerith to Zarephath. You can see the brook Kerith here, the red dot, the lower part, the lower red dot. And then you see Zarephath up there at the top. It was at least 100 miles. That meant a long, unprotected walk across open land where Elijah, now remember what Elijah went to King Ahab and said, it's not going to rain for years. So how popular was this guy? Here's a guy that went to King Ahab and said it wasn't going to rain. And here he is making this treacherous journey across 100 plus miles. You would think Elijah's life potentially was at risk. God calls Elijah out of his hidden place of security in the wilderness where he was protected, where he was isolated from populated areas, where he was away from people that might have been offended at what he said to King Ahab. And now he's called to take this long walk. What a risk. It would take a good measure of faith to make this walk. You know what? It takes a great measure of faith today to walk with the Lord. Day by day, it takes faith. God knew what he was doing. He had prepared this place for Elijah. And I like the wording that God uses. Elijah isn't going to Zarephath to provide for the widow. He isn't going there to provide for the people of this village. Actually, the widow is going to provide for the prophet. God's training, it continues. Now, how would Elijah respond to all of this? Well, this is what he did. He arose, and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." God told Elijah to arise and go. And that's what he did. He arose and he went. I have a question for you to think about it. And I'm going to ask you this question again later when we get more into the story. Is obedience really this simple? Isn't obedience a lot simpler than what we make it sometimes? Now, I'm not saying it's easy, but it is pretty simple. God tells Elijah to arise. What does Elijah do? He arose. God told Elijah to go. What did Elijah do? He went. Where did he go? He went to the exact place God told him to go. Guys, this isn't rocket science. Following God isn't rocket science. You don't have to have a PhD from an Ivy League school to follow God. God tells us to believe. He tells us to repent. He tells us to confess. He tells us to be baptized. He tells us to be faithful. And then he promises us a home in heaven. Is it really that simple? Yeah, it is. Easy? No way. It's pretty simple what obedience looks like. When Elijah arrived, he encountered some tests. After all, remember, this is going to be a training ground. This is a crucible. This is the furnace. The heat's going to get turned up on Elijah, and it happens pretty quick. You should never underestimate first impressions because oftentimes they are a test. Now, remember, Elijah had made this long trek, 100 plus miles. It's dry. It's dusty. There's a drought in the land. It hasn't rained for a period of time. The brook had dried up because of the drought. He was thirsty. He was parched. He was like the ground surrounding him. And at the gate of this city, he encounters a widow gathering sticks. And what is the very first thing that he asks for? This lets you know where Elijah is physically. "Please get me a little water in a jar. And then could you bring me some bread in your hand?" And the lady, she went and served Elijah. Well, not exactly. Look at verse 12. This is what she said. "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar." Now get this. This will take your breath away. At least it should. "And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Hey, Elijah, welcome to Zarephath. This is going to be awesome. You're going to love it here. Not quite the welcome you'd like, is it? Like when you cross from Oklahoma into Arkansas, you have this great big sign welcoming you. You come back the other way, you get into Oklahoma, a big sign waiting for you. Also, of course, you cross into Oklahoma, you got a casino waiting for you. That's another story. But you get a welcome. This was Elijah's welcome. "Elijah, welcome to Zarephath. Here's the lady." Now get that. This is the lady that's supposed to take care of you. This is the lady that God told you about. When you get there, there's going to be a widow lady. She's going to take care of you. Elijah's probably thinking, "Lord, what are you doing to me? Why didn't you just leave me out at Kereth? That tent wasn't so bad after all." Elijah came to Zarephath and found nothing but a woman looking for sticks so that she could build a fire, fix her last meal, and die of starvation along with her son. Now, what a letdown this must have been. It's like thinking you're going to a five-star resort and you end up at not a five-star resort. The advanced training for Elijah, it gets kicked off immediately. Now try to put yourself in Elijah's shoes. You've just walked over 100 miles across a drought-stricken land, and you get to this place that God has told you to go to. God did tell him to go here. And this is what you encounter. This is your first impression of Zarephath. How would Elijah respond? Would he pass the test or would he fail? Would he handle the problem with faith or with fear? How do we handle the problems that come up in our life? When things just get thrown at us and we're like, what in the world is going on here? How am I supposed to handle this? What am I supposed to do with this? Do we handle those times with faith, knowing God is still in control? Or do we immediately start fearing? Let me show you what Elijah did. This is what what do you say to somebody who says that to you? I'm just picking up some sticks. I'm going to go start a fire, fix a meal. It's going to be the last meal for me and my son. How do you respond? I don't know what to say. Well, this is what Elijah said. Notice what he says first. Do not fear. This woman had to be scared to death. Because of the drought, because of the situation of that land, you realize what was going through her mind? In her mind, she thought she and her son were done. We're finished. And Elijah's first words to her, do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. She was going to take care of Elijah physically, but he was there to help her spiritually. How could he do that? You look at this situation, this would be easy for us to look at everything that was going on at Zarephath and say, this is hopeless. There is absolutely no hope here. There's no rain. There's no food. There's no flour. There's no oil. We are in a hopeless situation. Sometimes that's what I do when I face problems. I just start looking at all of the negatives. Elijah, instead, he focused on the possibilities. You see, he had learned some stuff at Kereth. He learned some stuff there at that brook. He was an emerging man of God. His faith, it was building in his life. He had survived a dried up brook. He had survived the treacherous journey all the way to Zarephath. Elijah was qualified to talk. There's some people that talk, and I'm like, you're not qualified to talk. Listening to somebody who has no kids, listening to a teenager tell us how to raise kids, you're not qualified. You don't have any kids. If Jalen were to come to me and give me parenting advice, I'd be like, I don't think so. The very reaction she had to me a lot of times growing up. She's not qualified. There are some people who are qualified and some people who are not. Elijah was qualified to say this because he had walked the walk. You can't encourage somebody to believe the improbable if you haven't believed the impossible yourself. And so Elijah, he makes a promise to this woman. First, he tells her, hey, you go make me a bread cake first. And she's probably thinking, what are you talking about? There's only enough for me and my son. She may have been thinking. But Elijah asked her to do that. And he made her a promise. And what a promise it was. Have you ever spent time in the presence of a person of faith? When a big problem was facing a group, when it seemed like it was just a huge, insurmountable obstacle, and there's one person that just has faith. When I first came here, Dalton Petty was one of the elders. He was one of those men that I was always impressed by. Because there'd be problems that came up. And Dalton always had faith that everything was going to be okay. Paul Crawford was that way. The men that you have right now as elders, they're that way. Sometimes as ministers, we come in and we have problems, things that we're concerned about. And it's always refreshing to be presenting these problems to men of faith. That's what Elijah was. When you rub shoulders with people of God who believe in possibilities, it's contagious. How would this woman respond to Elijah? Well, make sure you get this from the story. I told you I was going to remind you of this again. Once again, we see what it looks like to obey. Elijah obeyed God. He was told to arise. He did. He was told to go. He went. He was told to go to Zarephath. That's where he went. Now, notice this woman. Once again, we see the simplicity of obedience. She was told to go and cook a cake, some bread for Elijah, and she did. She went and she did. It's obedience in its simplest form. Our obedience and God's faithfulness, it's a powerful force. It can bring about miracles even bigger than what we see here. God's faithfulness and this woman's obedience led to a never-ending supply of flour and oil. That was the promise from Elijah. God's faithfulness and our obedience. Now listen, if we will just obey God, it can bring us a never-ending supply of forgiveness, salvation, heaven itself. The widow of Zarephath met God in the kitchen, and her every need was provided for. It doesn't mean the woman and her son had everything they wanted, but it does mean they had everything that they needed. God doesn't always lead us where we may want. If God leads you to Kerith, don't analyze it, just go. If he leads you to Zarephath, don't overthink it, just go. God's ways are always higher than our ways, and his promises often hinge on our obedience. Elijah had to rise and go. The woman had to go and bake. And both had enough faith to do it. Through this entire journey for Elijah, do you see that God is enough? God is always enough. Alcohol is never enough. Drugs, they're never enough. Money, you'll never have enough. Fame and fortune are never enough. But God and his promises, it's always enough to get us through the day. Because God, he'll never disappoint. It's likely that most of us have passed through the fiery furnace at some time in our life. We've been to Kerith, we've walked to Zarephath, and on the Christian journey from faith to maturity, all roads pass through both of these locations. And wherever you find yourself tonight, let me remind you that God is enough. And tonight, if you want to be baptized, God is enough to wash your sins away. Because of what his son did for us, if you'll believe the great message of the gospel, if you'll repent, confess the great name of Jesus Christ, and submit to the waters of baptism, pretty simple. If you'll just obey, you'll have blessings that are unbelievable. We give you that opportunity now as we stand in